host here in Coral Springs has a guy who's been bugging him like the bugs down here in Florida, and he's bugging him about Joel Osteen. You have to read Joel Osteen's book, and he's telling Waylon that he has to step out into some wonderful, mystical wonderland of faith. And Waylon says, well, what's supposed to happen when I step out? Good things will happen when you step out. And he says, well, what specifically do you mean by step out? And the guy said, well, you don't seem to have as much enthusiasm as you used to have. And Waylon says, I feel the same as I always do. What are you talking about? And this is so illustrative, ladies and gentlemen, because this guy is looking for what else he said? He said that Waylon, you only have, I think your faith is only running at 30%. And Waylon says, well, you got a faithometer? You can hook me up? You have something that measures a person's faith? You telling me I'm at 30%? Oh my gosh. Hi everybody, this is Martin Zender. Welcome to the end of the week here in Coral Springs, Florida. And this guy, this Joel Osteen acolyte that is bothering my friend Waylon. Waylon is very mature about this. He just tells the guy, you know, bye-bye now. He says, and what he told the guy was, I have just as much faith as God wants me to have. And I took a little harder stance on it. I said, Waylon, if I was you, I would have told that guy, you know, because you need to see the excitement, because you need the Joel Osteen experience, which includes large houses, shiny cars, and beautiful wives with 65 teeth. That guy actually has less faith. That's what I would have told the guy. I said, your faith, I hooked up my faithometer to you, sir, and the needle didn't even move because you have no faith. Because faith, as we learned in the book of Hebrews, which we've been studying for 3 months, is the assurance of things which are not being observed, not being observed. Can you imagine this guy going to the Apostle Paul in jail? Or Joel Osteen, for that matter. Joel Osteen would go to the Apostle Paul in jail. I don't really know how Joel talks. Does he kind of got a little twang to his voice? He's from Texas. I think he does. I might have heard him once. I couldn't take it. I've just about lost my breakfast. So I think he has a twang. Paul, you need to step out, brother. You need to step out. Paul did not step out of the jail. You know what? Osteen and company, these deliverance ministries, they were at the cross of Jesus Christ. They were the high priests and the Pharisees at the cross of Jesus Christ. Come down from the cross. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. And isn't that what these so-called deliverance ministries are telling you? You need to step out, either from jail or from the cross or from the problem that you have, from the trial you're in. The reason you have a trial is because you're not fully operating in the Spirit. That's what they tell you. The reason you're sick, you don't have enough faith to be well. Well, it might have been the case back in Jesus' day, but things have changed, and now we are walking by faith, not perception. And this guy who told Waylon that he had 30% faith, this guy doesn't even show up on the faithometer because he has no faith, because it takes tons of faith not to see stuff. This guy needs to see stuff. You're not as enthusiastic as you used to be. Who measures that? There can be a guy sitting in a chair. I'm going to put this on a video someday. I'm going to do a Crack of Dawn report. It's going to be probably me or somebody sitting in a chair, and this person will be exuding the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, meekness, faithfulness, self-control. And you've heard me say that anyone demonstrating the fruits of the Spirit, that doesn't make for good television. It's boring. Nobody's going to watch a guy sitting in a chair who has love for the world at large, or for his enemies even, or joy. And joy does not manifest itself by jumping up and down like a lunatic when you win a washing machine on The Price is Right. We're talking about spiritual joy. Well, it's the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of winning a washing machine or a new car. Who cares? So the Joel Osteen experience is temporary and it's false. And you take these this Pentecostal movement. I know you've said this before. I got on this roll. I didn't intend to do this. I have to finish up some questions here. I got good questions coming up. A guy can break his leg, and a deliverance guy, a deliverance ministry, a miracle worker, so-called, can heal this guy's leg. But you know, the guy still might not have peace. He might not have love. He might not have joy. He's able to walk straight. He can put a shoe on again. He can ditch the crutches, but he might have all the others, all these other problems. But I say to you, the greater miracle is to give a person love, joy, peace, and patience. That doesn't make good television. Some guy or girl sitting in a chair being patient. And you hear the clock ticking in the background. How long are you going to watch that on television? You're going to switch that real fast and try to find a car blowing up or something. So the person, yet with patience, love, joy, they can sustain any other kind of injury or any other kind of mental problem like depression or something like that, but especially a physical disability, they can sustain it because they have the greater gifts. And today, the fruit of the Spirit is manifesting itself not in miracles as the Pentecostal church defines them, but rather by the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, meekness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Gentleness, generousness. Well, that too. That's a tenth fruit of the Spirit that I invented, generousness. Okay, yeah, I have it. I'm the only guy that has it. Don't even dream of having it out there in Zenderland. So, as I promised, I have my reversed baseball cap on. Only it's this little, not exactly a baseball cap. It's I'm going to turn it around now. It's like a desert cap. So, it's got this incredibly long bill. Any duck would be envious and jealous of this bill. This bill will knock out the sun during an eclipse. I mean, this will eclipse the sun itself. It's very long. Anyway, and then I got my new shades, my different shades. So I hope you're enjoying that here at the end of the week. I got a question. Let's go ahead and take this because this is important. Somebody wrote me in light of what I said about, what did I say? Oh yeah, the organized church. You know what? I can't get to that question yet because I didn't finish up why you can't trust the system, why you can't trust the comfort you feel when you're in the organization. Now, and then I'll get to the question. And then I wanted to get to, somebody asked this when I talked about the burnt offering. Somebody asked a really good question. Why is it that Jesus Christ is called the sin offering, but in the Greek, the word offering is in light face type, and in fact, it calls him sin. Jesus Christ was a sin. He became sin, not a sin offering, became sin itself. That's a very good question. And in fact, it's the same thing in the Hebrew. When you brought the sin offering to the altar, you didn't bring the sin offering. The word offering wasn't there. You brought the sin, because the word offering is in light face type. And if you know anything about the original languages of Scripture, Greek, Aramaic, and Hebrew, you know that if a word is in light face type, it means that it was added by the English translators in order to satisfy English idiom or to make sense. But the dark face type words are the words that have a corresponding Greek, Hebrew, or Aramaic word. So I probably won't be getting to that till Monday. I probably won't be. So you got that to look forward to all week, and you're going to get some mature spiritual truth on Monday concerning how Christ was a sin offering, or sin itself, how he became that, and what it means for you today. And it has to do with the offering in Hebrews 13. I'm not too far off topic. Yeah, I'm a little off topic. Yes, I'm a lot off topic. But it's important. Again, the offerings come before us in Hebrews. And the bulls and the goats, these were all types of the ultimate offering. So you can't trust numbers. You can't trust to go where all the people are, because in this day, the majority are wrong, not right. I'm going to repeat that because it is so utterly important. In this day, the majority are wrong, not right. And I will say this as well. In any day, the majority are wrong rather than right. The Israelites who believe their gospel, the faithful Israelites, are called by Paul in Romans 11 a remnant. Back in the day of the prophets, The prophets were a handful of nut jobs. Isaiah went around prophesying naked. Jeremiah was weeping at the bottom of a well. These guys were the dregs of polite society, and so was John the Baptist. They were in the minority, and yet they were the ones on the cutting edge of spirituality. They were the ones doing what God wanted done. And it's the same in our Lord's day. Again, can't repeat this enough. The prostitutes, the tax collectors, the fishermen. Now, these folks use the name of Christ, but is that a gauge of truth? Many people think it is. Well, they use the name of Jesus. It must be good because they use the name of Jesus. That is a false name of Jesus. I don't know if you knew this, but there's a true Jesus and there's a false Jesus. For this, I need to go to Matthew 7:22. I not only need to do it, but I'm going to do it. And again, I'm dodging all my wires here, as you can see on the Zender cam. You're probably wondering when I'm going to just disengage this whole operation and we're going to have a major blackout here. Matthew 7:22. You may talk quietly among yourselves as I look for this passage. Mm-hmm. Many will be declaring to me in that day, and I believe it's this day, that is the last days, Lord, Lord. And they'll be saying it twice with an exclamation point. Lord, Lord. They're going to be imploring him, because what they're going to be learning at this judgment is going to be a total shock. Was it not in your name that we prophesy? Where is a lot of prophecy going on in organized religion? The day of prophecy is over, by the way. Prophets were needed to be the spokesman of God because the Word of God was not yet complete. Now that the Word of God has been completed and we're not looking through a glass darkly anymore, but we're looking face to face, no more mysteries, Paul brings us the end game and he completes the Word of God, Colossians 1:25. We don't need any more prophets. I'll go get to Ephesians someday and we'll tell you what we do need. Well, I'll go ahead and tell you now. We need evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Not church pastors, not institutionally trained pastors. People who have a heart for guiding people. People who like to tell you what to do. And they do it in a godly way, and they do it with wisdom. Anyway, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? And in your name, the name of Jesus Christ, cast out demons. And that's what they're doing also in the Pentecostal camps. And in your name, do many powerful deeds. See, it's all about deeds. And this guy that was bothering my host, Waylon, apparently Waylon isn't producing enough deeds for this man's satisfaction. Let me tell you, Waylon and Regina Dabbs host the Saints. They do a lot of work for the cause. They help me do what I do. The deeds that people look for are flashy. The deeds that people of no spirit or little spirit, they look for flashy things. But then, this is the shocking part, then shall I be avowing to them that I never knew you. So they were imposters. Depart from me, workers of lawlessness. Workers of lawlessness. If you're not playing by the rules, you're lawless, and it doesn't matter if you use Jesus Christ's name or not. I had a couple more points, but look at this. I'm out of time already. The building is deceptive, and it looks really fancy. Going to get into that Monday before I get into the other thing I'm supposed to get into on Monday, and the education of the people. But I want to get this question in real quick because it's so sweet. It's so nice. I really don't have time for it. I'm pushing your patience. I appreciate that. I'm pushing my processing power on this computer as well because I'm videoing this and recording it. Martin, I see your point about the problems with organized religion. Good. God bless you. Organized religion, church, and particularly the wide destructive way of churches. Churches like Hillsong is obvious. I've never heard of Hillsong. Is that a big church? Okay, if it's a wide way, if the church parking lot looks like a runway at O'Hare, then it's in deception. If the church building looks like a football stadium, or in the case of Joel Osteen, is a football stadium. Oh, he's in a basketball stadium. Okay, sorry, whatever. But here's the question. But how or where else are we meant to derive fellowship in the light? Fellowship in the light. And the reference here is really astute reference. This is an astute girl. 2 Corinthians 6:14. What fellowship does light have with darkness? True enough. She recognizes the church is full of darkness. She says, well, we're supposed to have fellowship with light. Where do we find the light? That's a really good question. Where do I worship? Where do I praise the Lord? Do Bible study. It's a lonely walk. It is, because there's not very many of us. It's like you've identified the virus, but I can't see where the antidote is. So in other words, I've said how terrible and wrong everything is. Now she wants to know, what do I do about it? This weekend, go to jointsandbands.com. This is a website that Clyde Pilkington put together. It's based on a translation from the King James Version concerning the body of Christ. It's held together with joints and bands. I think the CLNT says ligaments and some other anatomical part. But anyway, the point being is that jointsandbands.com is a place where you can sign up, put your name in there, and meet other people in your area. And there are other people that have already signed up there, so you might find somebody in your area who believes the truth. They might live a dozen miles from you, and you don't even know it. So I want you to check that out over the weekend, jointsandbands.com. All right, this has been Martin Zender, still in South Florida, celebrating the sun with sunglasses and a reverse ball cap. And I hope you will be here with me Monday, because we got a lot to do. We got a lot to do Monday, and next week's going to be a bang-up week as we finish up on Hebrews chapter 13. Have a nice weekend.